Welcome to Off the Cut, a podcast where we talk about building, making,
and answering all of your questions.
I'm Eric from Spensley Design Co.
And I'm Zach from Zach Builds. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on air, you can send it to offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find both of us on YouTube, Instagram, and unfortunately, because we have to keep up with kids, you can find us on TikTok too.
All right, now let's get into the show.
How now, brown cow? Sorry to get my vocal exercises in. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Off the Cut episode 74. We're up in Toronto. Today is known as Tuesday, July 18th, 2023. But here in Ohio, today is respectfully dedicated to the food of the day, sour candy.
I mean, it's more food than other food of the days that we've had.
Yeah, yeah. So, sour candy. What's the first thing that comes to mind? Are you getting, like, I don't even want to spoil it. What is it?
Sour keys.
Sour keys? Sour what keys. The hell are sour keys?
Oh, is this like a Canadian-only thing?
Oh, it must be.
Yeah, look up sour keys. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Wait. Go back, Derek. No, not those.
Sour smog balls?
What the hell? Yeah, those ones right there. Tell me you've never seen these before.
Never.
No.
You've never seen those before? Oh, wow. This is
okay,
like
so it's like a gummy worm.
Kind of. It's a gummy worm that loops in on itself.
Self-reproducing.
Yeah, exactly. This was like a convenience store staple when I was a kid. Okay. You know, when you go to the convenience store and they have those bins of like 5-cent candies?
So it was a generic brand candy.
Yeah. Like whatever we're seeing here, this is like some brand's take on it, but I've seen it sold under a million different brands.
Okay. So it's not, it's like a gummy bear, basically, where they make it, 1,000 different brands make it. It's not the Reese cup that has to be made by Reese's.
Correct.
Okay, so it's a generic candy.
It's just a generic candy. So when I went on that houseboat trip with my friends, we bought a big bag of, it was like, I don't know, like a 5-pound bag of sour candy. To split between 8 people or whatever, and nobody touched it. So now it's sitting in my kitchen. And you know, occasionally when I'm walking through the kitchen, I'll just grab like a little handful of sour candies, and I'm always pumped when I get a sour key. I'm like, oh yeah, this is childhood right here.
Oh, so you're saying you got like the sour candies you got were a variety?
Yes, it's a mix pack, but the mix pack like 25% of it, because these are so ubiquitous here in Canada, is a sour key.
Okay. So now Derek's looking at other stuff. The first thing that comes to my head.
We lost Derek for a second. He's cut out. We've lost him. See, he was going to say warheads, which I
am I back?
Also. Yeah, you're back. Now. Yeah, you're back.
You go. Okay. That's weird. Hold on. I got to make sure I turn off my backup thing. I'm still backing things up.
This is a great podcast.
Yeah. It's still better than Green Suitors.
So true.
No, I was going to say warheads. Warheads were my go-to candy.
So, correct me if I'm wrong here, but did they neuter warheads at some point? Because I remember them being rough when I was a kid.
Like, it was the black one or the white one was like... Like, you couldn't eat it.
Yeah, exactly. But now, I had one recently. I was like, oh, they brought warheads back. And I tried one. I was like, this is not that sour. But maybe it's just because I'm adult now versus, you know, being 8-year-old kid or whatever.
Hold on. They switched the ingredients.
Okay.
They used to use malic acid to make them sour. And then they switched to citric acid for some reason, which affected the sour profile.
Okay. I would argue that they are not as sour as they used to be. So,
because I remember it was the black or the white warhead that, like, buddy's house. It was the black wrapper.
Yeah.
But I think the warhead itself was white, maybe.
Okay, sure.
And, like, I remember being at my buddy's house, and we were on the trampoline, and, like, his older brother came over with some warheads. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, you'd mess with the red one, the pink one.
The green one occasionally.
The green one. And then you come across the black one and you're like, no, dude, I can't do it.
Yeah. Derek's like pulling out the packaging right now. Do they have like a sourness scale on the outside of them? I wonder. I do remember that it was like a thing on my playground. You're like, would you eat a black one? People be like, no, black ones for me. That's too crazy. Yeah.
And then they have the extreme ones, but I don't think they're actually any more sour.
You know what this reminds me of? And something I haven't tried, but there's those like Doritos chips that are super spicy. They're supposed to
about them.
Wreck your life.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they sell them in Canada, but you're a test market, right, in Ohio? So have you seen those at the grocery store? I think they might even sell them as, like, individual chips.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So they have, like, the Flamin' Hot ones. They have, like, the extra Flamin' Hot. And then they have, like, the Doritos. Oh, my God. Sold by a single chip. What is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Dorito single chip.
That sounds about right.
Carolina Reaper Madness Challenge.
Yeah, that's it. You have to like eat one Dorito or whatever.
Yeah. Good times. I'm not super competitive when it comes to eating. Like you know what I mean? I don't like to turn eating into a competition where it's like a pain tolerance thing.
Yeah, right. You don't care.
Same thing when you go to like get wings. I think we've talked about this on the show before, but when you go to get wings and there's like, you know, there's hot, there's suicide, there's Armageddon. And Armageddon, you just like immediately as soon as you touch it, you start crying. And
right. You're like, I gotta do it.
Yeah. No, not me.
I think it's the same mindset of the people who have just like trucks that are jacked up like 18 inches and have like the spacers on their wheels so they jettison out so they don't even fit in the lane. It's that same mindset. Those are the same people that do the hot wings.
I was driving like an hour outside of the city yesterday to meet up with a friend. Anyways, I see this truck, giant spacers, wheels out, like the back side of the wheel was out past the body of the truck. And get this. He had somehow, it was kind of ingenious in a lot of ways. He had somehow rigged up lights inside his wheels. So his wheels were illuminated. I had never seen that before.
That's something.
I was like, that is a cool dude right there. That is a cool dude.
I would bet my life savings that guy is single or divorced.
Or about to be. or both. Yeah, Derek, it looked like the one above the one you're on, right? Not that crazy. Yeah, that one, but the lights, the wheels were illuminated. Each one had its own individual light in it.
Dear God.
Good times.
Hopefully we don't have any of those folks. That's more of a Green Suitors podcast supporter right there. They wouldn't listen to a good podcast like Off the Cut.
You know what I don't understand about stuff like that, though, is it's like that to me screams like low class kind of move. But it's also extremely expensive to do like a full lift. You're talking like that's probably like a $30,000, $40,000 modification you're doing on top of your $30,000, $40,000 truck.
Right.
I mean, you really got to want to drive around looking like that.
And I've also got to imagine, like, that destroys your resale value because now the market of people who are going to want to potentially purchase that in the future is so small.
So small. But, you know, there might be one guy out there who's like, dude, that is sick. I got to have that.
I'll give you $150,000 for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You did it so right with that voice and like the big eyes and like the cross in your eyes, like, dude. Oh, that's too funny.
I know my people.
Yeah. Well, speaking of people, the past few episodes I've been eating on the podcast, and I just finished eating, so we're only 5 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually had one of our patrons write in and from RJ Woodworks said, man, if I have to keep listening to Eric eat on mic, I may have to switch my major $2 donation over to the Green Suitors podcast.
Oh, no.
I know.
That's a threat.
Which That's basically threat. Means you would be responsible for two puppy deaths every month. Do the right thing, Eric. Then he sent some laughing faces, and he said, thanks for the entertainment. We appreciate the support.
It's funny. I don't think this is bad for me, because I can see you eating. So it's like, yeah. It's part of the experience. But I imagine if you were just listening to it and you had to hear like the chomp, 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 maybe it's a little bit different.
I wonder if it comes through.
I think, well, I mean, clearly it does if RJ's complaining about it.
Maybe. Well, you know, sorry, people. Sometimes, you know, it's one of these times where, you know, it's from where you record from like 7-ish till about 9, 9:30-ish. And it's like, get home from the gym around 6. So I was like, well, you know, got to eat a little something now. Or I wait until like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And I'm like, do what you got to do.
Well, so get this. So today we've got the podcast. We'll probably wrap up like 9, 9:30 like we normally do, right? Mm-hmm. Sophie has a meeting with a company in Australia. And it's because it's in Australia, the meeting starts at 10 o'clock and goes until 11. We were just having a conversation before I sat down to do this. I was like, are we going to have dinner at like 11 p.m. tonight? She's like, yeah, I think we had to do dinner at 11.
You know what that means, right? You're cooking.
We'll see.
Popeyes?
Yeah. My wallet will do the cooking, probably.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Hey, you got a guy who will be like, Sophie, I got this guy who actually will show up to the house with food already cooked.
That's right. His name is Domino.
Yeah. Are you going to get that Alfredo pizza?
I don't know, man. Last time I did the Alfredo pizza, it did not agree with my stomach. Mm. So I might have to take a break from Alfredo pizzas. It's delicious, though. It's delicious.
Speaking.
Tastes as good going down as it does coming back up.
Oh, yeah. That's what I heard. I was going to say, speaking of delicious, you think this is where I'm going to hit the Patreon plug, but I'm not.
That is what I did think.
I know. So I got everybody on their toes tonight. Speaking of delicious, the best way that you can help us grow this delicious podcast is just by sharing it, telling a friend. See, we usually say that at the end and everybody's already tuned out.
That's right.
And they can't even skip this ad read because it's already over.
Perfect. I was going to make the new intro with it. I mean, I was going to, but then I forgot about it and I didn't.
Right. Yeah. We have a lot of empty promises that we give out.
We do. We do. I think we're well-intentioned, but we're also stretched pretty thin on most fronts.
Yeah.
So, we say we're going to do stuff and then we forget about it and then it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. That's fair, though. Well, speaking of things that people say they're going to do, I got an email and I wanted to bring this up. I got an email from periodically, Zach, I'm sure you get the same thing. You get emails like from some representative at Google or at YouTube or whatever.
Go on. I don't think so, but go on. Okay.
So let me see if I can pull it up. So anyway, why am I blanking on this? Okay. Well, I'll try to look it up while I'm pulling it up. Okay. I got an email several days ago or whatever from someone from YouTube. Like, it wasn't sketchy at all. Okay. And it was, you know, I looked up the address. It was very clearly from them. They're like, yeah, you know, we want to have like a YouTube. Oh, here we go. I found it. YouTube one-on-one consultation. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever, sure. And they said that they, you know, they wanted to book like an hour to talk to me just about, you know, ways that they can help educate me about things, opportunities that might be available to me, like new programs, new things that they're working on, hearing my feedback and all kind of other stuff. I was like, sure. Like, it doesn't hurt to just gather information. And then maybe now I have like a contact with someone as YouTube or whatever. Right.
Yeah.
So I got this message. We got this email maybe, I don't know, Thursday, Friday last week. And so I scheduled the phone call for 1 p.m. today.
Okay.
So I get on the phone call. And it's like, since I didn't set it up, it was through Google Meet. They're like, oh, you have to like request to join the meeting or whatever. So I did. Sure. I waited there for 10 minutes.
Oh no.
And then just didn't, they never let me in. So like, I couldn't tell if anyone else was in the call or anything, but I'm like,
right.
You literally just ghosted me.
Yeah.
Like
that's
what the hell?
That's pretty, my experience with these big tech companies, anytime I've had to interact with them, is that they are usually very punctual. Mm-hmm. Like they live their lives by their calendars from the looks of
it. I know.
So did you follow up? Did you send like a little email? Like, hey, what's up? Nobody showed up.
I did. No response.
No response. Interesting. Interesting.
Could have been an East Coast, West Coast time zone thing.
But it was usually, like, it was like booked through
Google
like
calendar.
The, yeah. Through Google calendar. Okay. Right.
Can you imagine if it was like, you know, it's a representative of Google and they send you like a Microsoft Teams invite or something like that?
Oh, Skype chat. Like,
that's interesting. Yeah, I wonder what happened there.
I don't know.
Maybe a person got sick or a meeting ran late or something like that. That's bizarre, though.
That's what I thought, too. I was like, maybe they got, honestly, the only thing that seems logical is they got abducted.
I mean, that happens all the time. That's pretty likely. Yeah.
But, yeah. So, also, going along the YouTube thing, I got this new beta access in YouTube Studio.
Okay. I don't have that yet.
Yeah, so let me see if I can pull it up and tell you. So, you know how YouTube Studio works. For anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, it's basically like the back end of YouTube where like we upload our videos, we can go and like change the titles, the descriptions, like add links, all that kind of stuff. They just call it YouTube Studio. And we have like basically like a toolbar on the side. So you have like your content, your analytics, your comments, your copyright, like where you can customize things, settings, all kinds of stuff. Well, I have this new thing that says promotions. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I have, do you have it, Derek?
No, but I saw that they changed the monetization. There's now two tiers to it.
Really?
Yeah, there's one at like 500, and then there's one at 1,000, and then they're starting to implement things like paid partnerships and like affiliate links and stuff like that in directly through YouTube.
Right, right.
Well, that's smart.
So this
I now have access to the affiliate thing.
Okay.
And so I don't know what the percentage is. I think it depends on the category. So like I basically like if, you know, you're watching my video, it'll pop up in the bottom corner and be like, here's the glue that Eric used or something like that.
Okay. So now is this only with certain retailers? Like if only if like,
I don't know.
Okay. Okay. So you haven't actually been able to implement it yet?
I've done a couple just to like see what happens, but I haven't really been able to identify if I've generated any revenue or like any clicks from it or anything like that.
Okay. Okay.
But
like what types of items were you able to add then?
It was super limited.
Okay. Okay.
Like I think I threw in like some clamps that I had used or something.
From like, did you go like right to the Pony Jorgensen website or was it like on Amazon?
No, you had to search it like through the YouTube Studio thing.
Oh, so YouTube Studio has like a giant list of products?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild. So they must be like partnering with dozens of different retailers.
That's what I'm thinking.
Skim a little off the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cut. Well, that's interesting because there's not, I mean, some people have better luck with affiliate stuff than I do, but I will say like, you know, affiliates has never been like a big money maker for me.
Yeah.
It's usually, you know, a couple hundred bucks a month or something like that.
Right.
So it's interesting, like, how much, you know, is there for YouTube to, you know, like if you're getting a 1% commission and they're taking half and you're just getting like, you know, 0.5%, I mean, I don't know. Is that much better than just putting a little link in the description and bypassing YouTube?
I don't know. I think they're just trying to limit the friction for customers to buy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. And I mean, if it's right there on screen while the video is playing, like that could be a good benefit. Because one thing I always worry about is it's like, I'll say in a video, like, if you want to use any of the tools I'm using, like, I've linked them all down below.
Right.
But then I'll put, like, 50 links to, like, different things. And I know for the end user, it's kind of a pain in the ass to scrub through. It's like, okay, I want to get, like, the miter saw he's using. Yeah. But, you know, where in this list of items is it? So then I start, like, taking things out to make it more streamlined. But it's like, well, what if somebody wants the little bottle of glue that I used or whatever? So...
That's why I have a link at the top of, like, when I, like, here are the tools that I use. I just kind of hit some of the highlights of the tools that I use. And then I have a link that says, view all my tools. And then it takes you to my website where I have everything categorized as, like, cordless tools, main tools, accessories, sanding, router bits.
Yeah.
That's my third most popular page on my website.
Wow, really? Okay, now be honest. How long has it been since you updated that page?
I don't really get a new tool super often.
Okay, fair. That's fair.
But like, if I get a new something or other, doesn't take long to update it.
Yeah, but do you? And that's my question, because I know myself. I've updated it
a little bit.
Okay.
Not much. But then I also have this like database. So like next time I make a video and I'm like, oh, I used, you know, this thing, I can just go to my website, right click, copy link, paste it in. I don't have to like research it through Amazon or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Assuming if link's not dead though.
Okay, so what else?
I was gonna say this will keep them on your video though. So whenever they go to click that link, they're still in platform.
Yeah, I think.
Is that true? Like, yeah, I mean, I would assume it would probably open a new tab or something like that. But I wonder, like, you know, like maybe.
Shopping.
Shopping. Oh, I've never actually used one of those little shopping links at the bottom of a video before.
Me neither.
Derek, do you know how they work?
No, I never used one.
Right? God, like,
we're the worst consumers.
I mean, I know, like, Google, they got, like, you know, you can go shopping on Google. So I imagine with YouTube, they're trying to keep everything on platform
as much as they can. Yeah. I wonder what their plan is to make it so, you know, like, because obviously they want people to keep watching the video. They don't want their session to end, right? Because they decided to click a link.
Right.
So I wonder how they're going to do it. Will the video pause and opens a tab? Will it, like, open below the video in a little window or something?
Oh, wait. I'm interested to see. You put it on one. Did you put it on a recent video?
I have no idea.
Let's check.
You didn't put it on your latest one?
I don't think so. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I'm the worst at this, but...
Yeah.
So anyways, if you find something... Derek, what are you looking at on your screen?
Whoa, yeah, what's that second video there?
Oh, Jesus. They can't be showing that on YouTube.
Well, I mean, it is on YouTube, so I guess you can, evidently. Yeah.
Goodness. All right. Well, anyway, so the other thing that I unlock... If I had to imagine... I don't know. Can you hit, like, shopping or something on my tab on YouTube, or...?
There's a store.
Store? Oh, yeah, I have some awful merch that no one has ever purchased.
Occasionally I'll look at it and be like, people are clicking it, but clearly nobody's buying it. I want to hire a graphic designer and be like, here's like 3 or 4 ideas for t-shirts that are like fun, but like don't just say Zach Builds on them. That, you know, it's like something related to the content that's kind of fun.
Right.
And then see if I could, because I see people do actually click them, just nobody buys them because, I mean, I don't blame them. I wouldn't buy them either. So.
Yeah. What about like using AI to make images? You ever thought about
that? That's a good idea. I tried to get signed up for Midjourney, which is like the image AI. It's like ChatGPT, but for images. But I think you have to pay for it.
I'm out.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of where I was at too. I was like, I'd rather hire some like graphic designer and just, you know, whatever. Pay him a little bit of money to get it done. That way the robot doesn't steal that job.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I got access to is this thing called Promotions Beta. So I don't know how this differs, because we've talked about this in the past, where in YouTube Studio you can like right click on a video and hit promote. And basically what you do is you like pay to push the video out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I have a little tab here that says Promotions Beta.
Okay, so you have access to it too.
Yeah, I guess I got it.
I decided on 2 videos that I put out recently that just aren't doing super well because, you know, let's fully transparent. The way that Zach and I make the most money is if the most people watch our videos. And if we have a string of videos that do poorly, our bargaining power for sponsors going forward is substantially diminished. So I put $100 behind two videos. So $100 each behind two videos that just weren't doing super hot, just as a complete test to see what happens. And I think it started yesterday. It said, so far I've used $7.34 worth of payment. And I've got 3,200 and 3,700 impressions and 22 and 39 views, 5 and 2 subscribers. So, so far, not really worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, okay. So I remember watching this video once, and what kind of criteria could you play around with? So I watched this video about how to do Google Ads before, and it was a guy specifically messing with the, I think I sent it to you actually, this guy messing with this promotions thing on YouTube, and he found that he could get a lot of impressions really cheap if he gave it a really broad scope. So not just targeting people in the United States. Like, if you're just trying to go for strictly numbers, he was targeting people all over. He basically, like, had no limit on it. It was just, like, the entire population. Like, that's my target audience.
Yeah, you're only able to target countries and languages.
And languages, right.
That's it.
That's it. So, I mean, you could just do every country and then do, like, English speaking. Or you could even just say, ah, screw it. People want to watch with subtitles. They can watch with subtitles.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if the brand doesn't give a damn, right? If, like, you get 100,000 views on a video, a million views on a video, they're like, cool.
Yeah. If you're just trying to juice numbers, that's what I would do. I would just set it for the broadest possible target.
Yeah.
But, you know, like,
interesting.
Yeah. Okay. You're close to basically buying a subscriber for a dollar each, right? You spent $7 and you got five subscribers. Yeah. Let's say it nets out. So, you know, if you were doing pretty good and you're making like $5,000 a month on YouTube and you just plowed it all back into ads, you know, extra 5,000 subscribers, it's like,
yeah.
It's not horrible. It's, you know, I would have to have a, I don't know. I'd have to have some decent income coming in before I'd be willing to do that, but it's just something to think about.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. So this is my announcement of the test, and I will I'll get back to you with the results, see if anything came out of it, if it seemed to help the video or perhaps hurt the video. I don't know.
I would love to see a graph of your average watch duration on the video. Okay. That would be my big question. Because the video I watched where the guy was experimenting with it, he was able to get like, you know, an extra couple 20,000-30,000 views, but his average watch time went from 15 minutes down to 2 minutes or something like that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, because you're targeting people who are like really far outside of your niche, right? True. So there'd be a lot of people who'd click on it just to see what's up and be like, oh, I don't really like woodworking videos. I'm out of here. So.
That makes sense. Well, I'll check in maybe in a week or two. I don't know how long this thing lasts or whatever. I set it at $100 max, and if I've spent $7 in a day, that means it's going to run for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, that math checks out.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you got any exciting things going on in your life? Anything you're working on? Any topics that have been striking your mind recently?
I got a new 3D printer, so I'm up to 3 3D printers now. But
all right.
The one I'm.
Give me the rundown. Sorry. What's 3D printer number 1, 2, and then what did you just purchase? And I want to know why you got number 1, then why you got number 2, and then why you got number 3.
Okay. So this is a good story about being a YouTuber. I was interested in trying out a 3D printer. So for a while, I was debating between these two 3D printers. It's like, there's the Anker Make M5 and the Bamboo Labs X1. Both pretty well-featured 3D printers, but the Bamboo Labs is like, it's like the Mercedes-Benz of 3D printers. Okay. So I ended up saying, you know what, screw it. I'm going to spend a little bit of extra money. I'll get the Bamboo Lab one. Was using that for a while, was super happy with it. I loved it. And then I got an email from Bamboo Lab. They're like, hey, Zach, we really like your YouTube channel. Could we potentially partner with you in the future? And so basically their offer was they will send me another Bamboo Lab X1 Carbon, no strings attached. And if I like it, I can talk about it. And if not, it was actually one of the chillest conversations I've ever had with a brand. They sent me a letter that they, or a contract that they wanted me to sign. But the contract was like, you are under no obligation to promote this product. You retain full ownership of all your media. Like, the contract essentially just said, if you like it, you can talk about it. And then if not, you don't have to say anything.
Right.
So that's how I ended up with the second one. And for a while there, I was really pleased with just having the two of them, because it's nice. 3D printing is, even with a machine like that, it's quite slow. Like, you know, to print like a 6x6 cube probably take you like 2-3 hours or something like that. So if you're working on a project with multiple components, then you can split it up between two printers and theoretically print twice as fast. So that's kind of the thing. And okay, so and then that's how I ended up with two 3D printers.
Okay.
Then this other company comes to me and says, would you be interested in, you know, us sponsoring a video and you trying out our new 3D printer? So I'm going to have to kind of talk around this one a little bit because I'm NDA'd and I'm not allowed to talk about it because it doesn't come out until August 1st. But that's essentially how I ended up with this third one. They were like, they wanted me to do a review video. I was like, nobody's going to watch a review video because I'm not an authority on 3D printers. Right. So I said, how about I use it for, you know, like an interesting little project? And then I can, you know, throughout the project, I can talk about some of the talking points of it. And they're like, okay, yep, cool. So for the past like 2 or 3 days, I've been working on that project using this new 3D printer.
Well, then aren't you now going to then have a fourth printer? Because don't you have another one coming, the correct one that we were talking about?
Correct. So I also have the fourth one coming from Creality, which is the K1 Max. I think we're allowed to talk. Yeah, it's public knowledge.
We're not under an NDA. They got it on the website.
Exactly. Yeah. So the Creality is like a competitor to Bamboo. And well, it's a big 3D printer company. But they created this K1 3D printer that's supposed to compete directly with the X1C Bamboo Labs printer. So yeah, so that they emailed me like, hey, we see you're doing some 3D printing on your channel. Would you like to try out our 3D printer? So I said yes to that. Sure. And also, Mark is currently negotiating a deal for me with another 3D printer company. So I might end up with 5 by the time it's all said and done.
But here's the thing. I think you could make some really interesting content when you're like, I have 5 3D printers. Like,
yeah,
here are like the pros and cons of all of them. And like,
yeah,
I don't know. I think you could get people interested in that perhaps.
For sure, for sure. I wonder, you know, I already had some comments on my latest video that I posted, and to my Patreon audience, some of them were like, I like these little tech projects you're doing, but I want you to do more woodworking stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of feeling the same way too. So I'm getting a little burned out on the 3D printing stuff. I want to do like some bigger projects. So I was talking to the one that Mark's negotiating right now. It's like, I'm happy to do this, but can we like push it back until like September or October or something like that? Because I want to get my hands on some wood again.
Heyo.
Hey, video episode title.
The one where they get their hands on some wood again.
Exactly. So yeah, that's my 3D printer journey. And my room right now is just, or my office is just absolutely filled with like calipers and like different types of plastic and different measuring devices. So
does it get hot in there with them all going?
It is actually. I've been running the AC pretty good lately.
Oh yeah. Have you got the comment from Sophie yet of Zach, do you really need all of these? Have you gotten that?
Oh yeah, definitely. But she says that about like basically everything I buy, so whatever.
You're like, I got a bag of rice. She's like, Zach, do we really need that? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Here's a 10 spot, go get you something soft.
Well,
something
pretty. Yeah, something pretty. It's a 3D printed $10 bill.
There you go. Credit card.
That's too funny.
But I will definitely have to pare down at some point. So we'll see what ends up happening. I might give one of the printers to my video editor or something because I know he likes 3D printing too.
Or do a giveaway on your channel.
Do a giveaway. I know I've wanted to. Well, I do want to build an email list, so maybe I will do.
Perfect.
Yeah, but giveaways are such a pain because I've already found, like, on my last couple of videos, there's been somebody made a fake account that looks like mine, and they're just spamming people saying, hey, you won. Even in videos where I didn't have a giveaway or anything like that, they're like, hey, message me on Telegram.
So you use that, it's like something.io. I can't think of the exact thing. It's what like everyone uses. So like you basically get like entries. Like if you like give me your email, you get an entry. If you look at my YouTube channel, you get an entry. If you look at my Instagram, you get an entry. Like do it through that and then just be like when people sign up in super bold letters. Excuse me. If you do not get a message from this platform, it's a scam. Right. I mean, you're still going to have people that get flagged by it.
I had last time I did a giveaway on my channel, I said, just give me your Instagram handle and I will message you directly on Instagram if you win.
Right.
And I thought that was pretty like pretty foolproof.
Right.
But then still the bot came and still all these message me on Telegram, you won, oh my God, message me on Telegram. And I had like at least 10 to 15 people email me and be like, hey, I won your contest. And I talked to you on Telegram. And I was like, no, but I said in the video, like, I come directly from me on Instagram. And still nothing.
People, unfortunately. Their guard just goes down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the lure of free stuff, right? So
you
want to
see
what
you want to see.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
That's the nice thing, though. Now, if like on your YouTube channel, like Mark, or your Influent email address is the one like linked. So if somebody messages you on there and is like, hey, I won, like Mark will just instantly reply back and be like, you know, sorry, this is like a scam or whatever. So that's one nice thing. He knows they obviously are very familiar with it. So they just like instantly reply to those.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
Another thing off your plate.
Yeah.
Exactly. Having an agent. I feel like such a dick when I say that.
Like, it's funny talking
to an agent.
It's funny talking to like my my normie friends who don't really, you know, like they know I have a YouTube channel, but they don't really know that it's a business,
right?
And so, but just talking to them, like, oh yeah, like, well, I just, you know, all the brand stuff, it just goes through my agent now. They're like, you have an agent? Like, I think a lot of people are, I guess, kind of naive to, you know, the layers of business that can be behind a YouTube channel.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to like one of my parents' friends the other day and they're like, so what do you do? I was like, I'm an engineer. And then on the side, I run like a woodworking business. So, and they're like, oh, so like, what do you build? I was like, well, you know, I don't really build things for people. I more just like kind of show people how to do stuff on YouTube. And they're like, oh, that's fun. And like, You can make a couple dollars on it. And I was like, yeah,
actually,
yeah, occasionally.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, you know, if it goes well, you can make a little bit of money. And they're like, oh, that's fun.
Yeah,
like
I can't remember where it was or something. I was at a dinner and somebody was asking me about the YouTube thing, and they were like, they're like, so do you make any money doing that? And then somebody else interjected and they're like, oh, no, 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 no. Like occasionally he'll get like free tools and stuff like that. But I just left it there. I was like, OK, whatever. Like, I'm not going to go into this.
I don't really need to engage in this conversation further. It's not You know, it's not doing anything for the people here, right?
But it was just funny.
And here's the thing: if somebody asked me like a very deliberate, direct question, I'm an open book. Like, I don't mind sharing, unless it's just like egregious. If you're like, oh yeah, well, last year I made, you know, $3,476,821.32. It's like, all right, dude, back off. Like, no one cares.
Right. If people are genuinely curious about, especially if they're thinking about, you know, potentially starting a YouTube channel, then I'm an open book. But, you know, if I'm just talking with, you know, my 60-year-old family members, it's like, I don't need to go into it.
Right. It'd be like the same if like you were like a nurse and somebody was like, hey, I'm thinking about getting into nursing. Would you mind sharing with me, like, you know, if you don't mind, like, how much do nurses make in like this area? You'd be like, yeah, no problem. Yeah. I make, you know, whatever this amount of money. But you're not just going to go up to a dinner party and be like, hey, I'm Zach. I make, you know, $7 million a year. You're like, who's this guy?
Well, we'll see. Maybe if I am making $7 million a year, I'll want everybody to know. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the only way they'd know is if you got one of those sick lifted trucks.
That's right. With the lights and the wheels.
Yeah. Well, speaking of people that have sick lifted trucks, I know a subset of people who do have those trucks. They're top tier patrons.
Yes, they are.
We've got so these are just some of the folks that are helping support this podcast, you know, covering expenses, paying for all the bubbly waters and everything. We've got Brooke Appler, Dadu, Luke Schmidt, Derek Jennings at Pecantree Designs, Corey Duvall, Jason Price at Priceless Pro Designs, and Scott Eastman over at Eastie's Woodshop. And I still don't know what the hell is going on with Patreon. If Wes backed out, because it doesn't show anywhere that he canceled or like is active or something.
He just appears and disappears. He's a mystery. He's an enigma.
But he's given us so much support. I'm still going to announce it. The Power Cocker, formerly known as Wes.
What a gentleman. I support that wholeheartedly. So, Derek, what kind of... Do you have a Chevy? Do you have a Ford? Do you have a Ram?
I got a Ram.
Nice, nice. 10-inch lift? 12-inch lift?
28? Do you have huge spacers average on the side, too?
No. 4-inch fit. No, it'd be more than that. You would need, like... I'm trying to think how the suspension geometry, like how they would do that. Like when the wheel is out past the truck, you need more than just spacers at that point, I think. Because that would be like a 16-inch spacer or something.
Could you imagine trying to park that thing? Like the turning radius has to be so bad.
You can only park in handicapped spots.
No door dings.
No door dings. Yeah, you're right. That would be nice.
That's too funny.
Hey, speaking of lifted trucks, I got a call from the Ford dealership about my F-150 Lightning. Last week they called me and they said, we have your Lightning, it's ready to go, but we're not going to honor the initial price.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, well, I don't know if I'm, I basically just said, let me think about it. Right. Then they called me back yesterday and said, hey, good news. Ford has just said from on high that we should discount all of the trucks like $9,000 or something like that. The Lightnings. So that brings me pretty within spitting distance of the original price that I was quoted for this truck.
What are we talking? Like 1%, 10%, 5%?
I would say if my math is right, which I don't know that it is, I think like 2 or 3%. Of the original. So not too crazy.
But, so when did you order it? What like 2020, 2021?
I would have to look. I think very beginning of 2022. I think it was January of 21.
So if you're telling me that in almost 3 years the price has only gone up like 3%, that's not bad.
That's not bad, right? So Anyway, so I'm going to go into the dealership tomorrow evening and just crunch the numbers in person and see if my math works out to the same as their math. Mm. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Derek's got it pulled up there. Yeah, so we'll see.
Think about bringing Mark into this negotiation, see if he can help
you
out.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah.
I'm going to get my agent.
I'm thinking about buying a truck. You think he can help me out?
Honestly, though, he probably would.
I get the sense that Mark just likes to negotiate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. He just so, yeah, likes we'll confrontation.
See. Yeah. Some people hate it. He thrives on it.
Yeah. Oh, that's too funny. So, what are your thoughts?
I don't know.
You're going to go?
No, I still don't think I'm going to go. I think it's lost some of the magic. Now that I've seen a bunch of them on the road, and part of the reason, it's an expensive vehicle. It's like more than I would be normally comfortable spending on a vehicle. But my thinking was always that if I got one before anybody else, I could drive it for a little bit, and then I could, if it was too expensive for me, then I could just sell it and I could probably pocket a little bit of money. But now I've been looking and there's tons of them on the used market. And they're so I could actually probably save 10 to 15 grand by just buying one with like 5,000, 6,000 miles on it.
Which is basically brand new anyway.
Exactly. So there's not much incentive for me to buy a brand new one at this point. And then I was looking, they also make a hybrid one that's like significantly cheaper. So I could get like a nicer truck that's a hybrid instead of being a full electric.
And it still kind of gives you the same, the same business as far as like, you're just, going to the shop and back or the job site and back. And like, you're probably not going to knock through tons and tons of gas. Like what's a hybrid still get like 50 miles a gallon?
I don't know. I would have to dig into that. I'm not 100% sure. It was pretty good when I was looking at it. It was probably like 50% better on gas than what I have right now.
Oh, so you're probably like in the mid-30s or so.
Something like that, I think, yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, so I was... I'm kind of leaning that way. But I'll go to the dealership. I'll talk. I'll see the truck in person. Maybe I'll see it in person and be like, oh my God, I have to have it. But...
Oh, no, but see, and then you do that, then they know that they got you.
Yeah. We'll see. I like I like negotiating cars. I'm like Mark when it comes to that stuff, but just only for cars, for nothing else.
I love the, let me go talk to our manager, and I'm going to take 45 minutes to walk in the back and go play foosball and like, like, man, can you stop this?
You think it's like a meme, but every single time I've ever bought a car, they have done exactly that.
Right.
It's
the one
wild
thing I have found that speeds it up is if they're like, "Oh, we're gonna go back," and I'm like, "All right, I'm gonna go to the bathroom." If you get up too, they always come back faster.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I like that.
Or if you're like, "All right, I'm gonna go get a cup of coffee or like a water or like." Well, I'll be outside. I gotta get something out of my car or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I like that because then they think they're losing you.
Yeah.
As a sale. Okay, I'll try that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's enough about me. What do you got going on? I see a bunch of scuba stuff in your background. You've been doing lots of scuba diving?
So we went to our last. Miranda wanted to take one more like kind of pool class before we go to this quarry. So we were in the pool yesterday. She finally like it clicked for her and like she came up to the water. She's like, "This is so much fun. I'm having a blast. Like I'm not scared anymore." I was like, "That's fantastic."
Yeah, that's awesome.
So we did our like a little class yesterday. We were in the pool for like an hour and a half. Okay, and then so this place is like a half hour, 40 minutes away from me. And they're like, "You can..." So then this upcoming weekend, we're going to go up to the quarry. We're going to be diving like all day Saturday and Sunday. And they're like, "Okay, you can come pick up your like rental gear on Friday." And I'm like, "Well, I'm already here. Like, can I just pick it up now?" So like, "Yeah, sure." So now if people listening can't see it, but people watching the YouTube live stream, good plug to watch you see what I did there?
You get to see what's going on in the backgrounds of our offices.
If you watch and you get to listen to the podcast early.
That's true. Early. That's true. 4 days That's early. True.
Yeah. I think. So I have nowhere to like.
When it's posted.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. I have nowhere to hang this stuff, so I've had to just like hang up my wetsuit and all this other scuba gear just on top of doors all over the apartment. It looks like hell in here. I got scuba tanks all over the floor and stuff like that.
You should make like a plywood cutout of yourself that you can hang all the scuba stuff off of.
That'd be cool.
And then, but it could also be like, it could be like, you know how J-Cats has Danny DeVito?
Yeah.
It could be like that, but it could be two of you. It'd be extra weird.
Oh, that would be really funny. That would be really funny. But so we're doing that this weekend. We're the quarry dive. Quarry dive. Yeah, we're diving in now, the quarry, man.
Now, let me ask you about the quarry dive. Is that water going to be like freezing cold?
Yes. So we're wearing a 7 millimeter thick wetsuit.
Okay.
Which is like, and then I also have to wear gloves and like a hood.
Wow.
I don't know. What's 7 millimeters? Is what, like half inch?
It's quarter-ish.
Yeah, about a quarter inch.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, it's warm.
That's thick. So, okay, you put on this wetsuit that's a quarter inch thick. Are you then like begging to get in the water? Because you're just like,
yeah.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
And it's then what about your... Hot. What about your face? Is there any exposed skin on you whatsoever? Or does like the mask give
you protection? So the mask pretty much goes to like your forehead all the way around, almost, and then kind of like below your chin. So you'd have the spot for like your regulator, and then your mask basically covers over here. So it's basically just like your lips are the only thing exposed.
Okay, cool. So. And your lips don't like freeze up or anything. I guess it's, you know, if the rest of your body's warm enough, it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, the water will be like 60 or 70 degrees. So it's not like it's like not 30 horrible. Degrees in the water. It's, yeah. You would definitely get it'd be like jumping into a very cold pool. So, like, you'd be fine, but you're not going to last an hour underwater at that cold, right?
I have some friends who live out on the West Coast and they go surfing. In the West Coast of Canada, I should say, and they go surfing even in the winter with these super thick suits on. Yeah. So it's pretty crazy. Like, you know, I'm trying to do, it'll be like 50 degrees out and they'll be out in the ocean surfing.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy. So I guess it's the wetsuits must be pretty warm.
So we're excited to get out there. That'll be our first time really not just scuba diving in a pool.
Yeah. And is there anything at the bottom of the quarry? Is there like a crashed something at the bottom?
Oh yeah, they're like it's made specifically for divers. It's like they're like helicopters, there's school buses, there's Christmas trees, cool. There's a boatload of stuff down there. So it'd be pretty cool.
When I went to St. Martin, I think, there was a crashed helicopter not too far off the coast, and I went out there with a snorkel and then swam down like a little bit to it, but there was like, it was cool. There was like, so clearly they had set it up as a little bit of a tourist destination, though I think it was a legitimate crashed helicopter,
right?
But they had like underwater walkways, and you could, and I guess you would go down in a weighted suit and you would like walk along the walkway and you could like walk around the outside of this crashed helicopter.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I think it was one of those not quite full scuba things. It's like you go down with a weighted suit and you just have a helmet on or something like that. Yeah. Can't remember what it was called. They had a funny word for it.
That'd be fun, though. But now we're like, so we're going to get our certification this weekend. And then we're thinking, maybe before we go to Hawaii and go diving there, we should like go dive in like Florida or something. So like when we're on our honeymoon, we're like, okay, we've gone on a scuba charter boat before. It's not just like, oh, we don't know what we're doing. It's on our honeymoon. We're panicking. Like, almost do like a 3-day trip to Florida and just go, you know, dive for 2 days or something like that.
Yeah, over the Labor Day long weekend, just sip down there. Go, you know, I think Florida's probably got some great scuba diving.
All right, and coral. It'll be really warm and comfortable, and
yeah.
I guess that's just an excuse to go on another vacation.
That's right.
So I've been working on that. I've also been going and editing some videos that are in my archive that I just had never finished. So Okay. The one I just finished up today was that outdoor bench that I did, probably that predating the podcast.
You did that for like your friend's mom or something, didn't you?
Right. Right.
Yes. Okay.
So I worked on editing that video today.
Well, I think you talked about it on the podcast before, so I don't think it predates it, but it's, I definitely forgot that you, didn't you like coat it in epoxy or something to make it outdoor proof?
I coated the bottom. So the bottom has like a quarter inch thick, like epoxy foot, basically. So you can just drag the hell out of it. I actually think that's a pretty smart idea, pretty good feature.
Oh, I do too. I do too.
I hadn't seen anybody else do that I can think of.
No, no.
I mean, I'm sure someone has done it. It's not top of mind.
Here's a idea for you next time. Once you get your 3D printer, 3D print a little soft mold that you could put underneath a foot, cast the epoxy into, and then it's soft plastic, so you could just peel it away, and then it'd be like perfectly shaped. And you could do it for anything.
I didn't even think about that. I could use the 3D printer to make like resin molds.
Yeah, totally.
Like knobs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Anything you want to make with resin, you can just make a little mold for it. And because you can print soft, flexible plastic, it can be like the easiest release in the world. You don't have to bang it with a hammer.
How flexible is that soft plastic?
It's pretty flexible. I'm trying to think if I have.
If I had like a 4-inch by 4-inch square, could I bend it like a quarter inch?
So this piece I have right here is thick. You can see it's like 3/8 inch thick, but I can like bend it with three fingers.
Oh, wow.
So
you've got like a good quarter, 1/2 inch deflection on a piece that's probably 3 inches by 2 inches.
Yeah, exactly. It's small and it's thick, and I can bend it with my fingers. So if you were to make something that was like 1/8 inch thick, I think you could bend it back on itself, no problem.
Huh. Interesting. Well, yeah. I don't know. So I've been working on that. I've been putting a ton of effort into learning Fusion still.
Yeah.
Like I told you, I ended up
all day today.
Yeah, I ended up buying that one Fusion for Woodworkers class from that product online thing that we told about. I'll send you the login. You can check it out.
Thank you. Have you started it yet?
Yeah. I'm almost through it.
Okay.
I did like a basic box. I did
a cabinet box.
Yeah, like a drawer box, basically. I did a basic box, like a drawer box. I did like a super basic bookshelf. Then I did an Adirondack chair.
Oh, that's tough.
Right, and that is way beyond anything I would ever 3D model, because there's so many curves and off-axis curves and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, let's be real, Zach. We're not going to...
I know. That, right? It's funny. A brand paid me it was Craftsman. They wanted me to do a project. They were like, we have this idea. We want you to build it and then make a little 1-minute video about it. I was like, okay, yeah, sure. I can do it. And they're like, we also want you to make a set of plans. I was like, okay, I could do a set of plans. And they're like, and the project is an Adirondack chair made out of hockey sticks.
And you're like, nope.
Well, because I was young and dumb, I was like, oh, okay, I guess I can do it. So I modeled that thing in SketchUp, and it sucked. I hated every second of it.
Oh, my God.
It took me so long to do. And because, you know, it's SketchUp, you do a curved thing, and it's like, okay, now this thing is set in stone forever.
Right.
Yeah. So I think when it was done, it was not the same dimensions as the chair that I actually built in real life, but I was like, nobody will know. Like, it'll still work as a chair. It's still fine. Right? Yeah. Right. I was like, I'm done with this project. I am out of here.
But I've gotten to the point where, like, so the stuff I'm modeling in that course is way beyond anything I would ever model.
Fusion all day, man.
Oh, yeah. But then I'm like, okay, well, I would rather, like, you know, go up to skill level. I'm dramatically overcompensating for my skill level. I would say go up to like a level 6, but really a 6 in knowledge, but then only work on like a level 2 or 3 knowledge, because then it's like, oh yeah, well, I know how to do this. I can do this. Like, you just have different options.
Yeah. No, it's, I think everybody should be like a couple knowledge levels above where they're actually operating.
Right.
Because, okay, you might not necessarily use all those things you learn, but once you get a little bit above, then you start learning all these little shortcuts, especially in Fusion. Like, there are a lot of times when I was working on something today where I was doing, like, I was trying to cut vent grills into a thing. I was like, okay, I know I want these vents to be 3 millimeters wide, 15 millimeters tall, and I want them to be evenly spaced along the surface.
Right.
I know in Fusion that there's a way that you can just say, give me 10 of these across the surface.
It's called pattern. It's a thing called pattern. You can do pattern along path is what you're looking for.
Exactly. Yeah. So see, I didn't know that. I knew it existed, but I was like, I'll just do it. I'll just brute force my way through it for now, and then I'll come back and do it later. I'll learn how to do it properly later. But it's that type of thing. Like, I was able to get it done with this, you know, with my level 3 knowledge. I was able to do a level 3 project. But if I had level 4 or level 5 knowledge, then I could have used a pattern tool and I could have got it done much quicker.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
I think it's an important thing for everyone. Like, always try to push your, like, even woodworking, try a new tactic that you've never tried, a new strategy that you've never done before, because then you have just something at your disposal. And even if you're not, like, going to be doing all this crazy woodworking joinery all the time, just kind of knowing that you have that in your back pocket's kind of nice.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
But Fusion's going well. I'm trying to wrap up that class. Then what I'm going to try to do is basically model that, like, outdoor bench I was telling you about in Fusion, because that will be crazy simple, but it'll be like my first time modeling something on my own.
Yes.
But it's not so complicated that I'm just going to get frustrated and pissed off. Like, it's going to be pretty straightforward to the point where I don't foresee me running any issues. And I think that'll just further kind of build my confidence to, be able to model stuff in Fusion. So that's what I'm working on right now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
A little behind the scenes stuff, not really building anything at the moment, but I do want to build something. I just don't know what I want to build right now.
Yeah. You just wait for inspiration to strike. I mean, or just, I don't know, build something for fun. But I would say, like, I've made a lot of crappy YouTube videos just because I felt like I had to do something.
I know.
I
think you take your own advice and find something to challenge yourself with, something that you've always wanted to do but you haven't done.
Yeah, I know.
True. Very
true. I've noticed a lot of, or not a lot of people, but I've seen folks do it in the past where they take OSB and then try to, like, make it into, like furniture by using, like, penetrating epoxy and stuff like that. And that seems kind of like a fun idea, but I don't need anything. Do I just make, like, a coffee table and, like, move on with my life? Or
give it away at the end of the video if you want.
Right.
I've always thought that OSB was a really cool looking material.
Right. With some metal legs or something on it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's got an interesting texture to it. It's just, I like it. It's cool.
Or here's what you do. You make up some horseshit oh, damn it.
That's explicit.
You make up some horseshit story, and you'd be like, I had an art director in France reach out to me, say that they want a custom piece for their art gallery. I charged them $27,000, and I'm making it out of OSB.
Oh, that's beautiful. That would get you a lot of hate clicks.
Oh, I know. But that's probably a little unbelievable, because they're like, look at this hack. Like, no art director is going to reach out to Eric or Zach and ask them to build something for them.
No, you never know. Stranger things have happened, like getting offered to do a TV show.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Right? Is it that time already?
I think we're an hour in, so.
Well,
I think it's at least time to tease the after show.
Okay. That's right. Okay. That's good. So, I mean, I'm all in for it. We got some questions. We can talk about that over in the after show.
Mm-hmm.
So Zach is absolutely right. I got an email earlier today, and it came off very, what should I say? very like non-descriptive at the beginning. It was basically a potential paid partnership. And they said, okay, so it says, I did send an Insta. So this is an email I got. I did send an Instagram DM with similar info, but I figured I would also send through your online form. I'm like, that's not starting out great here. My name, we'll just keep the names, whatever. My name is whatever, and I work for a digital production company called Blank. We love your Instagram and all the fun yet practical content you share. So, like, all of a sudden, this is super generic, right? We are currently looking for someone to partner with us for a campaign we're working on creating a few posts, okay? We thought you'd be a really great fit because of your high energy and community engagement in your posts, which I haven't.
Yeah. Now it's starting to sound a little suspicious.
Right.
Yeah. I don't read the comments.
Would this be something you're interested in hearing more about? I'm looking forward to connecting. And so I just said, can you tell me what your budget is for the campaign so I can assess what I'm able to offer? Generic statement. And then they're like, well, do you have a media kit? And I said, happy to send my media kit over to you, but I would like to know what your budget is so that I know if this is worth me pursuing. And then they sent like more information, but we'll get to that in the after show.
Perfect. Perfect.
Tee it up.
Tee it up. So if you want to unlock that after show, that sounds good. If you want to unlock the after show. You like that?
Yeah, I do.
If you want to quit being a freeloader and like Rob Shaw, who sent me, I was talking to him. He's one of our listeners. He actually called himself a freeloader. So if you don't want to be a freeloader like Rob Shaw, you can click the link down in the description below the episode and head over to Patreon and unlock not just this after show, but every after show we've ever done, including ones where we've had guests tell incriminating stories about themselves and talk about all the conspiracies that they believe in.
Yeah, did we get Morley to share a conspiracy theory he believes in? I think we gotta ask all guests going forward now what their conspiracy theory is.
Right. Yeah. I'm good for it. And we should also ask them if they've heard of the Green Suitors podcast, and they're gonna be like, no, I don't listen to trash.
Well, our next guest, maybe.
That's a tease. We'll talk about that in the after show too. Talk about the after show. So everybody, as always, remember, don't kill a kitten. Join our Patreon.
Please. Yeah.
Or at the very least, just don't join the Green Suitors Podcast Patreon. And that's at patreon.com/Green Suitors Podcast. I highly suggest that you don't go there.
And you definitely can't find their podcast wherever you find podcasts.
No, it's definitely not on Apple and Spotify.
Yeah.
Or Google Play thing, whatever that is.
Oh, God. I'm an Android user. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, well, it speaks a lot about you. Yeah. So, everybody, thanks so much for listening. We're heading the after show to talk about some of these juicy details about a TV show that's being pitched to me. And we'll see you next week.
See you, everybody.